that front page. Okay, so let's begin with Acts 16, verses 9 through 12. 16, 9 through 12. Go ahead, let's see. Clay, would you read that for me, please? All right, so here's giving us the idea during his second preaching trip. This possibly would have been, and again, speculation, 51, 52 AD during his second trip where he's going to Philippi. As we look at this, just a few things to touch. Neapolis is about 10 miles. I looked on the map and read some things about 10 miles from Philippi. Actually, Neapolis was a port city. And that's what Philippi would use as their port city. So stopping from Neapolis and then going to Philippi. And if you look at verse 12, the New King James says, foremost city. Your other versions, New American Standard, New English Version, NIV, New International Version, instead of saying foremost, says a leading city. So we have the little bit differences there. So he was going somewhere else, or at least he was hoping to go somewhere else, but the Lord directed him to Philippi. All right, let's read the next section here, because again, our study is in the book of Philippians, but we want to get this down. Let's look at verses 13 through 15. 13 through 15. Paul, are you able to read tonight?
Are we still in
Acts? Yeah, we're still in Acts, chapter 16. Oh yeah, 13 through 15. Okay, Linda, are you there? All right, so what we get from this, if you go to various books and read, we conclude from Paul meeting these women at the time of prayer that there probably were not 10 Jewish men, so there was no synagogue at Philippi. So he meets with these Jewish women, and he teaches them the gospel. Her and her household obey the gospel. Do they not? They're baptized, correct? Now, when it says the Lord opened her heart, how does the Lord open one's heart? Well, what's required of the individual?
An open heart.
A receptive heart. A receptive heart. So this is not a miraculous conversion, because if that's the case, that would throw everything out of kilter, because all of us are saved the same way. So the Lord opened her heart. She was receptive to what Paul had said, and her household had obeyed the gospel. Do you see how we're following that there? All right, let's go on and look at the next section as we look at the establishment of the church there. Verses 16 through 21. Daryl, would you read that for me, please?
16 through 21?
Yes, sir.
Being Romans to receive or observe.
And that's another thing we need to understand. Philippi was a Roman colony. We're going to read that a little bit later, a few pages down. But you had the situation at the beginning of the first century, you had demon possession. You had this woman who was demon possessed. And what is she saying that's true, but coming from a not the best of source? What is she teaching? What do we have in verse 17? Yeah, the God of Most High about salvation. Okay, these men weren't focusing that. They were making money off of her. I don't know the whole extent as to why Paul became irritated. All I know is that he became irritated and he had the demon taken out of this woman. And therefore, true or false, when they came to the magistrates, that's the leaders of the town, when they came to the magistrates, is that the true reason why they're mentioning Paul, what they told the magistrates? No, it had nothing to do with Jewish, nothing to do with Roman custom. Had to do with what? Money. Had to do with their money. But as we look, so this is, what we're doing is looking at the establishment of this church at Philippi, which was basically, would possibly be comprised of some Jews, but probably predominantly Gentiles. As we go on, looking at the bottom as we look at this page, verses 26 through 34. Acts 16, 26 through 34. And let's go ahead. Tammy, you want to read that for me, please? Verse 26 through 34. Did I miss that? Oh, yeah, we don't want to miss. That's an important part. Tammy, forget what I said there and go 22 through 25. If I just jump over myself, please stop me. Okay, 22 through 25, Tammy. Okay, why are they being beaten?
They were accused of doing something that somebody didn't like.
Okay, they're accused of violating the Roman law. We don't know what law they violated, but that's what they were accused of. They got the crowd in an uproar. The magistrates, the leaders, usually you had two of them, the magistrates had Paul and Silas beaten, which we're going to find out was a bad thing for them to do that, but had Paul and Silas beaten. Now remember, this is the beginning of the church at Philippi. So let me ask you this. Did it start out smoothly or on rocky ground? On rocky ground. But it was a great church. It was a great church. And of course, the thing that I always bring up that impresses me, they're falsely beaten, but what's their attitude? Singing and praying. Now, you and I can't say what we would do, but I'll ask myself this question. What would I have done in that situation? Would I be singing and praying or would I be complaining? I hope I would be singing and praying. And the interesting thing, the other what? Prisoners heard them. All right, Terrell, you want to read the one I had given to Tammy, Acts 16, 26 through 34. Okay. Now, a couple of things I want us to look at here. Can we all agree This was the miraculous doing by the Lord. Okay. A couple of reasons we do that, because that's normally don't happen. Number two, for some unknown reason other being than that was miraculous, all the other prisoners stayed put. What would most prisoners do if the doors and the bars were let go? They'd be fleeing. They all stayed put. So this is a miraculous doing of the Lord for Paul and Silas. Now understand this, when Paul and Silas are singing and praying, they weren't aware that this was going to happen. Would you agree with me? This was all unknown to them. Nevertheless, the jailer's getting ready to kill himself. And by the way, that would have been the right choice, because had the prisoners escaped, what was going to happen to him? He's going to be put to death. So he was just going to hasten it. And of course, Paul stopped him from doing that. Now, where we want to spend some time is in verse 31. Remember how I say people make a context into a pretext? That is, they have their preconceived idea, and then they run to a verse and circle that verse and say, here's what the Bible teaches. And oftentimes, they don't keep the verse in its context, that's not what the Bible is teaching. Well, verse 31, it says, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Doesn't stop there. You see verse 31? You have to go all the way down to verse 34 for all that to be accomplished. So he tells them what to do, but then he shows them how to do it. Let me give you this illustration. Joe, if I was to tell you, believe on Albert Wanis, what are you going to say? Okay, why? Or you might say, who is he, right? So, okay, believe on the Lord Jesus. Now, let's look at the context. Okay, as we look at the context, look at verse 32. What did they do? Spoke the word of the Lord. Now, if you make notes in your Bible, that's a good place to put Romans 10:17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So he tells them to believe on the Lord, but they don't have a good understanding. I don't know what understanding the jailer had about the Lord. I know they're not put into prison, per se, because of the Lord, but yet he tells them to believe in the Lord. Then he teaches them who this Lord is. Would we agree? And then after we look at that, verse 33, you see repentance involved, because what does the jailer do? Washes their stripes, so that's a source of repentance, is it not? And what were they told to do? Pray this prayer. No, they weren't told to do that. They were told to be baptized.
It's amazing when you think about the Ethiopian eunuch, and he was asked by Philip, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how come unless somebody teaches me?
Right.
And he taught him Jesus.
Right, taught Jesus. And that's right, because when they came a certain water, the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? Well, how did he learn that? By teaching him Jesus. So as they were teaching them, as they were teaching the jailer and his household the way of the Lord, they responded favorably, and they were baptized. So now we have the start of the church at Philippi. Yeah. Okay, that's a good point.
We all know that some people believe that if once you ask God into your heart, they say, you should be baptized, but they don't believe in the remission of sins. This is obviously an urgent matter.
I'm glad you brought that up. Van brought a very good point up that it was done immediately, because I know my wife comes from a background where they don't initially baptize someone. They accept Jesus as their Savior, and it might be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks down the road. That's not New Testament Christianity. New Testament Christianity is when they heard the word, they were baptized. My son, as of course he grew up with the truth, he heard many, many lessons. Well, as he was a teenager, he decided to obey the gospel at 12:30 a.m. in the morning. I think it was around that time. Come into our room. Sunday, it was after Sunday night, so it's now Monday morning, 12:30 a.m. When do you think we baptized him? Yeah, we got in the car. We drove to the church building. We called a few of our friends up, because when you get a call at 12:30 at night, what are you usually thinking? Bad things. What happened now? Well, this was a good thing. And it was an emergency, spiritually speaking. But he was baptized. And that goes back to what you were saying, Van. Very important. When you know you need to be obedient to the gospel, you don't delay it. And he didn't delay it. So right now, at that point, would you agree with me? Now you have the church, ever so small, at Philippi. Now, it's going to get bigger than that, but you have, because we go in the book of Philippians, they had elders, deacons, and saints, so you had men involved as we go later on. But here's the initial, the little germination of the church there. As we continue on now, let's go from Acts 16, 35 through 39. Acts 16, 35. Gary, read that for me, please.
Put us out secretly? No, indeed. Let them come themselves and get us out. And the officers told these words to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed.
All right, I'm glad the Lord put that in there for me. It's kind of a little sense of humor, or a little sense of letting the magistrates, they really overstepped their boundary, because Paul could have made it a whole lot worse for them, being Roman citizens, and they were unjustly beaten and put into prison. In fact, we don't have all the specifics why they knew the next morning to let them go. I'm assuming that word came to them what all happened, and they just wanted no part of the case, get these men out of here. So they sent the officers, and that wasn't good enough. The leaders, the magistrates, had to come back to them. I would have loved to have videotape back then as them pleading with Paul and Silas. Again, it's all speculation because we weren't there, other than we have the word pleading. So it's just not a casual thing, would you go? They're pleading with them to leave. But the thing I like at verse 40, as Gary went to verse 40, and that's fine, Gary, we only had one more verse. They didn't immediately at that moment go. What they do in verse 40? Okay, they went back to the house of Lydia, did they not? And they also went to see the brethren. So there's more brethren there besides the household of Lydia. So we've had that situation. That's the establishment of the church at Philippi. Okay? Now, approximately 10 to 12 years later, I look at this as being one of the prison epistles of Paul, and that means it was probably between 61, 62, 63 AD. So you got about 10 or 12 years there, depending upon which time frame you're taking. And there's some discrepancy whether he was Rome or something with Ephesians. I'm not going to get into that. We will touch on that briefly, but let's go to page number 2. Now, what I've done on page 2 is just some of the things I drew together. You might have drawn something totally different. But when I look at Philippians, these are some of the lessons I remember as we look at Philippians. The first one is the idea of handling adversity. All right, let's go to Rebecca. You want to read Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, and then you'll read the next section also. So whoever I choose, they'll read both verse, both things. So 12 through 14, we'll stop, and then you'll read 29. Okay, so I want to stop there, 12 through 14. So when Paul's writing to Philippians 10 years later, he's not in the jailer, not in the jail at Philippi, because this is a different time frame. He's now, in my understanding, in Rome in jail. Okay, are you following me? So it's not him at Philippi in jail, it's him in Rome. And what he's talking about, that he wanted them to understand that his adversity was something beneficial to someone else, but also something we don't pay attention to, is go ahead and read verse 29 now. People aren't told that, are they? How often are people told, you know what, if you become a Christian, you might get some suffering? You ever hear people talk like that? But really, they should be informed that that's going to be the case. Now, we're not going to have the same suffering that Paul did yet at this time. I hope we don't have that. I don't know anybody being thrown in jail in America at this moment for being a Christian. That day could come, but it's not here yet. But you have other types of suffering. The last thing you want to leave the impression that everybody's going to be happy for you when you're a Christian. Because is that true? No. No, not everybody's going to be happy. When we became Christians, some of the first people that opposed us was family. Family from different realms. And then my co-workers, they were relentless. They were relentless as I worked in warehousing and opposing what we had done. I mean, what was joy to me, they didn't even want to talk about. If they wanted to talk about it, they wanted to ridicule it. But it warns us not only to believe in his name, but also to suffer for his sake. We'll talk more about that when we're in Philippians. All right, let's look at that second lesson. Go ahead, Daryl, read for me. First, let's read Philippians 1, 20 and 21. We'll stop and talk, and then 3, 7 through 10. Okay, let's stop there. Who's magnified in Paul's body? Who's to me? The Lord. Christ is to be magnified. Okay, so when we're raised to walk in newness of life, Romans 6, 3 and 4, what's our goal? Have Christ magnified in our body, correct? All right, go ahead, Daryl, read that next passage just below that. Okay. Now you say, and this is why I make up my own material. Because you look at that passage under Philippians 1, 20 and 21 and say, what does that have to do with Philippians 1, 20 and 21? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because the reason I put that there, since I've prepared this, I know why I put that there. What I'm showing is that Christ is magnified in his body. He's already suffered, but he never complained about it. He counted his previous life as what? As rubbish, that he might what? Win Christ. In other words, you ever hear people talk about becoming Christians and almost feels that they feel bad of what they've given up? No, you don't feel bad what you've given up. You're happy what you get. You're happy because who you've become. So yes, he had the suffering. And yes, it's going to take effort to serve Christ. And yes, it's going to cause changes. But he never regretted his decision. And the truth of the matter, I never regret when I do what the Bible teaches. When do you think I have regrets? When I don't do what the Bible teaches. That's where my regret comes in. All right, let's look at the next one. Go ahead, let's look at Philippians chapter 2, 3, and 4. Let's go ahead. Joe, you want to read that for me, please?
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Look not on every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others.
We're going to talk in great detail on that when we get there. As I looked over the years of being in Christ, working with the greatest people, there's been occasion we've had to deal with doctrinal problems, and you have to stand firm for the doctrine of Christ. But over the years, there's been more problems over attitudes and jumping above one another than doctrine. They didn't learn the lesson, Philippians chapter 2, to esteem others above themselves. How many times do you know, and we don't want any names mentioned, how many times do you know where someone's feelings got hurt and they cause a disruption? Raise your hand if you know that. Has nothing to do with doctrine, has to do with feelings. All of us get our feelings hurt. Sometimes unjustly, sometimes we're just too thin-skinned. Would you agree on that? But that's not the time to look for another congregation. I'll give you a true story. We had a, and I may have told you this before, but I'm getting old, so just bear with me. We had a sister in Christ when I preached at Spring Warrior. I've always worked with good congregations. Understand that. But this one sister in Christ, who was a fairly active member of Spring Warrior, she got mad at me and quit coming. She was going to go somewhere else. Well, once I found out she got mad at me and quit coming, myself and one of the elders went out to see her, because I was an elder. We had elders. We went out to see her. She was mad at me because she felt like I snubbed her and not shaking her hand as she left services. Now, understand, I may have not paid attention to her that day, and shame on me if that was the case. But I didn't snub her. That congregation was at that time in excess of 140 people. And you had doors a little bit wider than those doors. And when you said the final amen, some people stood around. But you think of 140 people, about 70 of them are ready to get on out. Chuck's preached too long, time to go home. So as you're saying goodbye to everybody, are you going? And plus, we had more than one door. So, again, but for 3 weeks, she was upset because she felt like I had offended her, that I was ignoring her, that I was avoiding her. And I'm not a tiny fella. I wished I was. I wished I was about 98 pounds and nice and thin, but I'm a big fella. You can't miss me. I was at the same door I was always at. Now, that's an extreme, but that's a true story, true story. We get offended by things that, you know what? Sometimes just let them go. Yes, ma'am.
That's what's wrong with society today. People get offended
every too much
anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's going to happen this week, Florida, Georgia this week. We have Florida fans here. We have Georgia fans here. We have a lot of Seminole fans here. But we can get along with ourselves. I mean, it's a game. I don't benefit any which way. If Florida throws the biggest upset in my mind this Saturday, that's great. But those of you, I think we have a couple Georgia fans here. If you beat us, just be tender on me. You know, if you win by a big score, okay, that's fine. But the truth is, we are a very touchy-feely, and that's what Paul is saying. If you have love one for another, you're going to endure some of those things, are you not? Brothers and sisters, do they fight? Do they love each other? Usually they do, 90%. Daryl, did you have your hand up?
If it's strange how people don't realize that when you start fighting about that, you're diminishing yourself in your own eyes as to being a weaker brother.
Yeah.
Because it clearly says the stronger brother should bear with the scruples of the weaker brother.
Okay.
So if you're, even if you're dead confident that you're right, it's our obligation. If it's not a matter of doctrine, we can't set the truth aside. But if it's just a matter of a difference over something that can be dealt with later, then work with them and deal with them and allow them to grow into it. By you getting into argument with them, you're just doing exactly what God doesn't want you to do.
Okay. And for instance, then we're going to go on. For instance, there are some brethren who are vegans. They don't eat meat. I'm a meat eater. Okay, well, if we have a vegan over to our home, guess what we're not serving that day? We're not serving meat that day. You say, well, yeah, why don't you just serve them a plate of vegetables and you eat meat? No, if I'm going to eat a meal with them, I'll eat whatever they eat that day. I can eat the vegetables. I can. So again, the thing is, if we have concern for others, as Daryl said, if it's not a doctrinal issue, don't make it an issue. That's as simple. Now, the passage that goes along with that, I'll give your comment, then we'll read the passage.
I'm going to tell the story again.
Again.
I got slapped for sitting in somebody's seat one time. I'm 22 years old.
No, no, you're not 20.
I'm in a lady's seat. She said, my seat. I said, not your seat. The Lord's seat.
And then,
and I said, it's the Lord's seat. And she slapped me, stuck it up. And I mean, slapped me. And I said, well, I did learn something. I'm a slow learner. I learned not to ever sit there again. So I went on down closer to the front because people are crazy. I'm always kidding them back there in the back about sitting. They moved up.
Is that why they don't want to sit by you?
Her attitude was bad. If you've been a bad attitude, but she slapped me. But
so maybe she had a right to, maybe she was thinking of something else when she slapped you. All right, let's look at Philippians 1:7. And I forgot who read that. I flapped my jaws. Oh, it's your turn still, Joe.
Okay, 1:7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you, all because I have in you my heart, in so much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace.
All right. What's amazing, Paul could just in this whole book talk about himself, but he doesn't. He talks about them. He talks about Timothy. He talks about others. He talks about their fellowship. He elevates others. Raise your hand if you know people who use the I too much. Be careful that you and I don't do that. I'm not saying you can't ever mention your accomplishment. But even some of my preaching brethren, I don't know what's going over them. The church is going to exist with them or without them. I drop dead tomorrow. The church is going to exist just as it did today where I'm alive. I think sometimes we get to thinking, boy, if it wasn't for me. No, let's get that right. If it wasn't for who? God. If it wasn't for the Lord, if it wasn't for his pattern, if it wasn't for his sacrifice, if it wasn't for his church, you say, who guess word's not there? I. The I word is not there. Okay, so again, we're thinking of others. All right, let's look at the next one. At the next one, shine for Christ, Philippians 2, 12 through 16, Philippians 1, 27. Let's go ahead. Sherman, I haven't had you read yet, have I?
No.
Okay, 12 through 16, Philippians 2, 12 through 16.
Blameless and harmless in the and the Son of God. Without you, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light in the world, holding fast the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain.
Okay, again, where's the focus going to? What are we to do with our lives for what purpose?
Glorify Christ.
Glorify Christ. Someone had a question?
I didn't hear your question.
Oh, okay. We're here to glorify Christ. One of the things we do that is we quit complaining. Do we like the way prices are going? No, absolutely not. I could spend a half hour with you on how my car insurance has gone up 3 times in 1 year and I have no accidents, but it keeps on going. Okay, but guess what? I bet you your insurance has gone up too. I bet you your house insurance has gone up also. All right, do I like paying that extra? No, I don't like paying. I don't get no profits from the insurance company by paying that extra. But what I have to be focused on, be thankful I got the funds to afford it. Be thankful that I can afford it and pay it. Yes, ma'am.
Society, I mean, today's society has taken away Christ in Christians out of the equation. Like, I know, even back 15, 16 years ago, they were making fun of Christians, and it's just gotten worse. And big brothers, like, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but Tim Tebow used to wear the Bible verses under his eyeglasses.
Tim Tebow, yeah. Well, you're probably right there, but I want to take a step beyond you. Live Christianity. You know, I'm not saying you can't have a verse on your shirt or whatever you want. I'm not, but, you know, let them see it in you. Let them see that you have the love. Let them see that you have the conviction. Let them see that you're going to make a stand for the truth. And again, let's face it. We use the word Christian in a very liberal sense. And a lot of people who wear the name Christian don't act like Christians. And even sometimes some in the body of Christ don't act like Christians. So we've got to be different. We've got to try to live properly. All right, we only have a few minutes. I was hoping to get done with all this, but it's all Van's fault if he would have just hushed. I can say that because you're leaving this week. So. not you. Not, I'm saying him. No, don't take it. No, Van, right here, this guy, the small guy like me. What I've done on this, and we're going to stop at that. We're not going to finish this page, but I just wanted to show you. When you study Philippians, forget my page. Make up your own page. As we study the book of Philippians, put down passages that really strike home with you and then put them in application in your life. And again, I'm going to use the same illustration because it happened to me again this week, and I love Publix. 10 items or less, but nobody can read anymore. I'm standing in line. The lady's got about 28 items. She's my age approximately, so she should know how to count. Well, instead of being focused on that, you focus on the passages you put down, Philippians, you focus on something else, and guess what? The time goes by better, because if you just stew about it and say more things, you're going to make your life miserable, you're going to make the cashier miserable, you're going to make the person behind you miserable. Don't want to do that. Oh, and then tell them, I'm a Christian, but don't do that. If you tell them that, don't tell them where you go, because that wouldn't be a good example. So next week, oh yes, go ahead. Daryl will have the last say. Okay. There you go. Yeah, absolutely. But Daryl. Okay. And Daryl is 1,000% right, but here's the problem. That puts us face to face with the one that we're complaining about. And people don't want to do that, right? I mean, that's what we should do. But people don't want to have that confrontation. They'd rather tell someone else, I'm going to tell you this, but don't tell anybody. No, then don't tell me. Don't tell me, because it's going to usually be a bad situation.